for clothing and equipment for hiking, cross-country skiing, camping, and just enjoying the great outdoors. Mountain Sports is located in downtown Chico at 176 East 3rd Street. The telephone number is 345-5011. Thank you, Mountain Sports, and to you, the listeners right now, for lending your ears for the next hour, if you plan on doing so. We appreciate you. Without further ado, let's get on with the show, shall we? Talking about practice starts right now.
Talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up. We just talk about practice. Listen, we talking about practice. How silly is that? And we talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
Good, everybody. That is right. It's time for Talking About Practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. I am your host, Derek Isomaki. I am joined with me by the one and only DJ J Pounds, a.k.a. Jordan Booth.
What's good, everybody?
Also the man who does your weekly calendar roundup every here on KZFR at, what, noon, 12:15 it pays on?
Yeah, what, 10 a.m. During the day and then 2 p.m. afternoon.
There we go. Yeah, if you want to hear his sultry voice giving you the facts of what's going on in this great community of ours, he's the one to listen to. And obviously, our producer extraordinaire, Statman Brad.
Yeah, you.
Thank you, brother. Yeah, we're a little shorthanded today, but the show must go on because there's always stuff happening. There's always some drama. Mm-hmm. It might be a little bit of a lull, but you know what? Football's in the air. American football and real football, they're both out there. We've got lots of baseball going on because it's kind of heating up right now. We've got 6 weeks left.
Close to the full season. Month of September and then the last couple weeks of August. Yeah.
So we're getting down to the nitty gritty. But, you know, this wouldn't be our show without getting into the, I guess, rather ridiculous. Because that's where we like to be.
To be in the brush.
Yes.
We like to be in the thick.
And we got to start off with, once again, Antonio Brown. This guy is, I'm glad he's doing what he's doing because he's making this offseason very enjoyable for me. For those of you who aren't aware and been kind of lying underneath the rock, Antonio Brown doesn't like the helmet he's playing with. I think it's more than the helmet. I think it's kind of he's realizing he's being coached by John Gruden, and he's kind of scared right now, so he's like trying to find any other way to get out of being coached by John Gruden. Either way, your Raiders, that's tough if you're a Raiders fan. You got Antonio Brown in the offseason. You're thinking, oh my goodness, we got a legitimate star. I got a legitimate QB in Derek Carr.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a decent team around me right now. But then you have a guy being paid $10 million for 10 years as your coach. And all he does is try to give you pep talks about being nightmares instead of dreams.
Episode one of Hard Knocks, though, that was, you know, we had that sound last week. That was some exciting
it
stuff.
It was, no doubt.
John Gruden is a master motivator.
And he did it again the next week. He had another great stirring speech.
I haven't even seen episode
two. Well, in the next episode, he does another good one. I was wondering if each episode is going to have a stirring fight on speech by John Gruden to really get his guys in shape, because without Antonio Brown, not to say they're not going to be anything, but Antonio Brown was that special igniter that he just doesn't want to play because his helmet issue is still not resolved for some reason.
I mean, let's rewind a little bit, because we go, you know, Antonio Brown obviously has the issue with the Steelers, misses the last game of the season, goes throughout that whole thing, has the documentary on ESPN saying that he does not need to play football. He's good. His family's good. Does all that. Then he has the issue with his feet, with the cryotherapy, and then now we're here at the helmet thing. And the Raiders, you think they gotta be shaking their head right now.
It's just like that girl you've been trying to date for a long time. She keeps giving you reason after reason every single time you have a date set up to like push it back. Oh, I can't today. I had to work late. And it's like now it's like the sixth time you're trying. You're like, do I keep going?
You're like, I'm about it. I'm about it. I'm 100% about it. But it's like, what are we really doing?
Do you really want to play with me?
Yeah,
it sounds like he's really wish-washy.
He's making
right now
a lot of dumb decisions. I mean, that cryotherapy, you'd imagine he has done that multiple times. He's been in that chamber multiple times. And yet he makes that rookie mistake of like, oh, I burnt my feet because, you know,
I didn't wear socks.
I didn't wear socks or whatever.
I mean, if someone who makes rookie mistakes
was
on a not a fairly regular basis, but they happen, you know. You know, like, it could be a slight oversight.
You're,
he was in a foreign country.
You're making over $100 million and yeah. you're through the contract. You'd imagine you'd take care of your body a little bit better than that.
I mean, they've come out and said that it wasn't his fault. I feel like the Raiders are a little bit inhibiting his growth as, you know, as a player and his maturity
take
level.
Take responsibility.
Yeah,
you're a man.
Yeah,
you should be a man.
We're not 100% sure if it was his fault or not, but the Raiders have been, you know, on his side about everything.
I do love how you can see the frustration, sense it, if you're watching Hard Knocks in John Gruden's talking about Antonio Brown. He's not going after him directly because he can't do that. That's his baby right there.
Yeah.
But he's frustrated beyond belief right now. And I can imagine. I mean, apparently Mike Mayock, Mayock came out and said that he's got to either with us or against us pretty
you're
much.
You're all in or you're all out.
There we go, yeah.
And basically figure that out.
I don't know what that means, though. That's very open-ended. Like, what does all out mean to the Raiders? Does that mean you're going to cut him? Are you really going to cut a guy
it's just tell us and we'll trade you or we'll do something else with you. Like, we need to figure out our next path if you're not going to be with us throughout the whole season.
No doubt.
I mean, you need to start building up those people behind you. Like in Dallas, they have a similar situation with Ezekiel Elliott.
Yep.
And, you know, Tony Pollard, who's a running back out of Memphis, got drafted this year. You know, he's getting all the carries. So,
see the situation where Jerry Jones said the parents
Zeke? But he obviously was playing. And I feel like if you're a person who deals with Jerry Jones on a regular, I feel like you would know his sense of humor. It doesn't mean he liked it.
From all accounts, Zeke did not like it, nor did his agent. They were like, this is
not
funny
about it. But, I mean,
I really wonder, do they actually know Jerry Jones, though? I feel like Jerry Jones is the type of owner that's like, he's the all-overseen owner in, like, the box. He's not like, he'll go down there and, like, shake your hand.
Oh, yeah.
But he's like, we're not having dinner one-on-one ever.
But Zeke's also the guy that wore a half a suit to his draft. Mm-hmm. So he's that guy.
I mean, if you're Zeke Elliott, you know what I'm saying? If you're the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, out of all the players that you're going to have a relationship with, I feel like him, Dak, and Amari Cooper are got to be some of the top players. So they've been to the house.
Well, they've only been there a couple years. So why have a relationship with them if you are not sure about them being that mainstay?
I mean, Zeke is the future. Zeke is the best running back in the NFL.
I mean, he's already starting drama right now, so why would you want that in your organization?
Half of his career has been drama.
I mean, that's the thing with running backs. They're just drama-filled because they have the shortest expectancy. They put their bodies through the most, and they honestly get the short end of the stick more often than not.
Definitely.
I mean, you see what's happening with San Diego and Melvin Gordon right now. That situation, from what I understand, is still not resolved.
And that's getting very little coverage, by the way.
None whatsoever, because we got Dallas and you get Antonio Brown right now. Like,
exactly.
That's just,
and then you had the whole Le'Veon Bell, and I think everyone's exhausted from that one. That was a full season worth of drama, especially whether he's not coming back or not and what's going to happen after the season's done.
Especially for him to not get a whole bunch of more money than was predicted he was going to get. You know, like for
he
him
had
to basically
take what he had.
Yeah, for him to pretty much sign a deal that was pretty much equivalent to the deal he would have had assigned if he didn't get franchise tag. So it's interesting. NFL football. Preseason football is on. I don't really watch preseason games, but it's starting to heat up a little bit. I'm getting excited.
I do wonder. I would never actively pay for a preseason ticket.
No. I've gone to one game. It was somebody gave us tickets to a Broncos-Niners game like 10 years ago. I was so excited and yet so disappointed when I got there. I was like, this is the dumbest thing in the world. I'd rather go to a college game for cheaper to watch this exact same thing happen.
I mean, that's probably about the level of play.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the exact same level of play, if not better at college level.
Yeah. Those guys are actually succinct into their teams.
Yeah, and they're actually trying.
Yeah, exactly.
These guys aren't.
At least the first stringers are.
I mean, the first stringers are. The second
stringers
in the third quarter,
like,
they're just not that good.
No.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's just,
but they're trying really hard.
Yeah. And I was talking to a guy when I was working, and he was just talking about how he was kind of upset that he got tickets for the game. I think it was, the Raiders game against who they just played. Arizona, was it?
I believe so.
I think it was, anyway, that last game that they happened. And he was upset that no one would go with him. And I was like, you wasted a lot of money. Because apparently, I think you still play regular season prices for those preseason
tickets. Oh, yeah, you pay like 60, 70 bucks for like upper bowl.
Yeah, that's just that's ridiculous.
Preseason games, if you're an avid NFL fan, that's where you take your family. You know, you got your son, your daughter. You go because the tickets, they're pretty
should
close.
They should
they're
be cheaper.
They're pretty close to regular price, but it's a little bit cheaper.
It should be cheaper.
Like, I went to my mom said the tickets were like $40 a piece.
Okay.
And it was me, my brother, my mom, and my dad. So if you want to go out there and you want to see if your kids are interested in the NFL experience,
That would be the time to try
it
out.
Take them to a preseason game. Take them to a team they like, a couple players they know, and see, go from there.
Because that is the one, like football is the most expensive sport to watch in person, I feel.
I don't know. Basketball is getting crazy.
It depends
on where you're going.
Exactly.
I mean, football overall, branching over the whole entire NFL compared to all the rest
NBA,
of professional sports, is it's the most expensive, but area to area, it differs. Like, you're looking at the Warriors games, the new stadium over at Chase. That's going to be more expensive than any NFL game around here. Like, you look at the Niners.
They do, and they have less seats to offer in an NBA game, so those tickets are going to be more
prized possession. You're looking at 20,000 at the max, maybe 24, 25 at the bigger ones. But NFL, you have, what, 80,000?
Yeah.
Give or take?
Roughly, between 50 and 80.
And just the pure star power of, you know, NFL teams as compared to NBA teams. Now, there's a lot more. The NBA is a lot more top heavy.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, that said, I think football still, that shows that football still has its grasp on America. That, like, every stadium you go to, for the most part, not every single one, I don't want to say that because there are some places that don't, but that stadium's usually filled no matter what.
Yeah, no doubt.
Granted, we all see when your team's doing terrible, end of the season, no one's really giving a hoot. But at those first few weeks, man, those are precious places to
be. The Browns fans are going crazy the first 3 weeks.
Yes, they're going to be excited.
I mean, I'm excited to see that team. I want to see that team really in action. Like, I think anyone who's, we want to see what Baker Mayfield really can do with the weapons he's just been given right now.
Yeah, and it's weird because I want to see them succeed, even though they've been just so awful these past few years, and I would not mind them just flunking more and more.
That would be hilarious.
That'd be hilarious. I would love that. But I would also like to see them succeed. It's kind of like when the Cubs were in the World Series. It's like, I want to see them win, but I also want to see the disappointment in the fans' face of them not being able to get that ring.
Welcome to my world, brother.
Oh, that one I will never support.
I know.
I'll always hope for the loss.
The loss, okay.
Yeah. I like the mix-up. You know, new teams being in the
mix now, yeah.
You know, the Browns, I mean, obviously we haven't seen them play any regular season games yet, but, like, just off the talent alone, they got to be at least in the conversation for.
But right now, all they really have is the Ravens to worry about. They don't really have the Steelers now. Who do they really have other than Juju and Roethlisberger? And Roethlisberger is starting to go downhill.
Yeah.
He's at the very end of his career. Like, I don't see anybody in that conference taking out.
I was watching an interview with Roethlisberger, and he was talking about in his offseason, he doesn't practice whatsoever. Like, not whatsoever. Like, doesn't work on his throwing arm at all or anything like that.
Big Ben.
That's Big Ben for you.
It makes
sense. I'm just saying, like, the drasticness between. Granted, Big Ben's, what, got two Super Bowls on him? He's got two Super Bowl victories at least.
Yeah,
at least two or three, I'm pretty sure.
Oh,
and you got, which, I mean, hasn't done anything. You probably got all those guys out there, probably, like, day in and day out, just blood, sweat, and tears for this. And they're just like, can't even get to the playoffs.
I mean, he's at that Brett Favre point in his career where, you know, you don't practice every day. You're practicing, you know, Tuesday.
Got to get my arm loose.
Thursday.
That's it. Yeah, just get a little lubricated in there.
We're not doing it every day. And I think, you know, his track record has proven that he doesn't. I mean, maybe that he does need it, but he's earned the right to not be able to have to practice 5 days a week.
Which I hate, because I do not like Roethlisberger.
Yeah,
he looks so. He's one of the worst looking QBs out there, I feel. Like, if you put all their faces out there of all 30 quarterbacks, he's probably the ugliest.
Oh, man. So who's the cutest?
That's a good question right now. Best look. I mean, Tom Brady obviously is up there. Great looking dude right now. Yeah, you can't deny
Tom Brady.
He's
got a good kissing face, apparently.
I mean, dude, that jawline he's got, especially when he's got that stubble going on, I can see what Giselle sees in him. I do.
I'm more of a Fitzmagic fan. Love the beard.
Okay.
Love the beard guy.
He's probably second ugliest, I'll say.
Yeah, without the beard,
he's pretty terrible.
What about Kyler Murray?
Young face.
He's coming up right now. I'll say Drew Brees if you had that birthmark right now, it would be a nice look. It would be a
good looking QB.
Yeah, he's got a weird, that unfortunate birthmark. It's okay. Hey, man, we all got little flaws in us right now. We're just pinpointing them all right now for you. But yeah, I think we should have a further discussion on best looking QBs in the game.
If I say you're listening to Talking About Practice, the least homophobic show on the radio airwaves.
True that, man. Andy Dalton, decent for a ginger, I'll say. You know? Yeah, come on. He does all right. He does all right out there.
He needs to do better on the field.
That is true. He's talking about AJ Green.
Yeah, AJ Green got hurt already again. So
speaking of the Bengals, gotta say quick RIP to Cedric Benson, man.
Yeah, oof,
that was rough, man.
Legendary Texas running back.
Had that.
What college did he go to?
Texas
Longhorns.
Yeah. Longhorns. Yeah. Okay.
Didn't he? No, I'm thinking of Ricky Williams, won the Heisman for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was.
Either way, still decent in college. But again, shout out to you, Cedric Benson. Keeping it pushing around, some great transition right there. you got it going. I mean, MLB. As much as, like, we been so reluctant to talk about it on the show, we have slowly but surely, it has crept into our vernacular. And right now, like I said, the brace, it's coming on. It's heating up. And if you're a Giants fan right now, which most of you listening to probably are, it's unfortunate for you, y'all are scared a little bit. Because you guys have a chance. All you all want to do is just get into the playoffs. I'm any baseball fan, just get me into the playoffs. Wait, anything can happen.
Why are we scared? I'm confused.
Yeah, they're slipping a little bit. I even see it in your notes that you wrote, Giants slipping.
Yes, they are.
Yeah,
but
so
okay, you have to understand, coming into the season, the non-regular fan is going to look at it and be like, yes, we're slipping, we're scared. But when you come into the season, we actually have a chance. Before, we weren't even expected to be 500 or even close to it.
No doubt, but you guys jumped onto the bandwagon real quick that, oh my gosh, this could be our year again because you guys got really hot. Granted, you guys aren't completely cool off. There's still that chance for you.
Yeah, no, we're still coming back. The fact that we even have a deficit in the beginning of a game, I looked at it, I'm like, well, we still have a chance. There's still a lot of game left. Even in the seventh inning, I'm like, well, we still have a chance. And we proved that time and time again, even in the past series with the Diamondbacks.
Did you guys sweep them?
Three out of four.
And as a casual baseball fan, I just feel like San Francisco Giants are one of the teams I worry the least about because in their history of winning championships and having postseason success, they've never been a high seed going into the playoffs.
No, They've always been the underdog.
Yeah. They're always so. If they get in, that's a scary team.
That is. Yeah.
And right now, looking at it, we're 3.5 back from the Cubs, which is that last spot for the wild card. And we actually have the 3-game series with the Cubs coming up. So that'll really, if we take 2 out of 3, we're going to be in good position. But if we lose 2 out of 3,
that's
or more,
hurt.
Then you can just call the season right there.
Yeah,
I would happily call the season at that point because we have to win this series to even have a chance.
Yeah. 2 out of 3 would.
Yeah,
would
two. You have to win the series.
Yeah,
you don't have to sweep them. You have to win the series. 2 out of 3
would give you.
And then right after that, you have another week of August. Then you go into September, and then we have the Cardinals for 4 games.
That's the big one, at the beginning.
If you guys don't get anything, huge one right there as well.
If you lose both those series, you guys are done for sure.
Well, if we lose the Cubs series,
you can make it up possibly with that Cardinals one because the Cardinals are going to be dropping over the Cubs most likely in that situation.
Yeah, if we sweep them, then yes,
that's a
chance. If we sweep the Cards, it's. Yeah, actually, you know what? I take that back. So, yes, we're not officially over, but then we have to sweep the Cards to get back into it.
Either way, you got 2 big series with the Cubs and the Cards that are really the ones right in front of y'all.
And then the Dodgers are 19 ahead of everyone else.
It's just a matter of whether the Dodgers just kind of slump into the playoffs or not. Will they keep their hot bats going? Because they've got some really hot bats. They actually just broke a major league record for a 5-1 stint, 5-game stint with 22 home runs in it. 22 home runs in 5 games. For the team as a whole.
Yeah, is Bellinger, is he number one now
He's tied
Yelich.
For number one. He's okay, at least so tied for number one.
Tied at number 41.
Yeah, I think Belly's got 42 right now. He's got 41 or 42. Either way, he's at the top with him, with Yelich and Mike Trout. They're those three guys are leading the home run charge. I think this is the first time that we've had three players with 40-plus home runs at this part in the season. I think I saw someplace on ESPN that said that.
Yeah, Bellinger actually has 42. He's number one, and then Trout and Yelich have 41. So yeah. 42 and 41. All right.
This is a new day and age right now where everyone hits the long ball.
I just want to see Mike Trout make the playoffs, man.
Oh, my. Well, that's going to be difficult for him. The West is the most difficult division in the AL.
Yeah.
Like, you can I don't even think you can argue the East anymore. It's very kind of who's good that year, but everyone else is just garbage.
I mean, the Dodgers find a way to be competitive.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying
that's the NL West. And the AL West is a completely different game.
Yeah,
So they're in completely different conferences, even though they're in the same.
They're different leagues. Yeah,
different leagues.
Oh,
yeah. The AL West, NL West, AL Central, NL Central, and then AL East, NL East.
Oh, how does that work?
What do you mean? How does that work?
Kind of like in the East versus the West.
That's like a team being in like the Western Conference, but they're on the East Coast, like in like basketball.
No.
It was just
like Oklahoma City being a Western Conference team. They probably should be Eastern Conference team.
I get what you're saying because NBA is divided up geologically. While baseball was based off, I don't know how.
Well,
exactly
the only reason Oklahoma City's in the West is because they used to be Seattle, and that's the only reason.
That's probably right. Like, you're probably 100% right.
I think if we add another team or two, then they'll move over to the East.
But isn't New Orleans in the
New Orleans is also in the West?
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. There's some.
That's right. Charlotte's or the Bullets.
Charlotte is on.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
starts in like Central, but
I mean the geography. If we actually break down a lot of geographies, a lot of divisions, especially in football, they all are jacked up. I mean, come on, the NFC South has Dallas with it, along with Washington,
no,
Philly.
I think that's East.
That's East. Okay, I'm sorry. That's East.
And then
even worse.
The West has the.
That's
the Chiefs. The West has the Chiefs. AFC West has the Chiefs. It's like, really? That far is what you're describing as West?
I love how this conversation has taken a turn to. We're breaking down the geological locations of all these.
It makes no sense, dang it.
It doesn't. No,
what grinds my gears?
Grinds my gears comes
NFL,
a little early.
NFL geological leagues.
Just get rid of the East, West, North, and South. Just have 1, 2, 3, and 4. You know, there we go. Something like that.
I like the best 8 teams. They're the best, you know, the best records.
They should break it down into colors. The oranges, the blues. We're in the blue division.
Yeah, blue
league.
The
purple division.
All right. This is, again, 90.1 FM, KZFR, Chico. I'm sorry. It's kind of hard for me to see that at times.
Listen to Sporting Community Radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond.
Appreciate that assist right there. I just took on that one. We are so much more into the world of sports right now because we're taking a real deep dive. We're going to talk a little Pan-American Games. We didn't get a chance to talk about this last show.
Mm-hmm.
Did we talk about it? Yeah, we talked about it.
All the protesting. The silent protesting.
Yes, but it's leading me into a bigger point right now with the situation right now because it's bringing on a whole new conversation, especially with the new partnership that Jay-Z has taken up with the NFL. For those of you who aren't aware, the NFL has teamed up with Roc Nation and Jay-Z for their social community outreach along with entertainment. So pretty much Jay-Z is going to be the one filling a lot of the entertainment voids that the NFL has been putting out there, in particular these crappy halftime shows they put out.
Thank God.
So hopefully we don't have to see any more Maroon 5 and actually get Andre 3000 with Big Boy in the next time we see that
matchup.
Or at
least get like the local artist for that
From the region. Yeah,
exactly.
I agree. Yeah. But obviously with any type of moves that big players make, there's always going to be some hate thrown their way. And in particular, it's coming from Eric Reed, a guy who was passionately standing, or I should say kneeling, with Cap when he was on the San Francisco 49ers and still does to this time when he's playing for the Carolina Panthers. He's been very vocal against this Jay-Z partnership, saying that he feels he is being hypocritical, going back on his word, and which it's something that kind of it irked me a little bit because I can understand where Eric Reed's coming from and on his position because he felt that initially, he saw Jay-Z kind of taking a stand with him and saying, trying to essentially deter black entertainers in particular from performing for the NFL.
Yeah.
Now he's joining with the NFL.
I mean, the biggest deterrent for that should be that they don't get paid. I mean, it is obviously a massive popularity boost, but only if people are checking for you if you're that popular already. Like, you have to be a Bruno Mars, a Cardi B, a Maroon 5, Adam Levine.
You got to be a top five.
You have to be
five,
a top tier.
Yeah, top tier.
Or you're not producing anything off just that five-minute performance.
Not, yeah. I mean, even then, like, are those guys really even getting anything more, any boost of income just from playing that halftime show? Like, I really wonder if they break down the numbers.
I think
like,
it comes down to just the name. Like, it's just like,
exactly.
Hey, I'm still relevant. Basically, I think that's what it comes down to.
Is
these people that are kind of coming into the I might not be relevant anymore, or just to keep the train going at that point.
And make it make sense. Like, I don't know if Maroon 5 mixes with football. You know what I mean? Like,
no, not at all.
Like, why,
no.
Like, bring Phil Collins out there. Let's do
that. Would be better.
Let's do that. You know what I mean? Like, let's do something that actually makes sense with football. Let's play some hip hop. Let's like Maroon 5 and pop music don't go with football.
No. I mean, the closest thing you could probably do is maybe country because there is one side of the country that loves country that likes for football.
Yeah.
But you're still isolating yourself from the other half of the country. But granted, hip hop is the combining force right there. It's the in between. It's the.
I mean, let's be real. Half the probably 50% of the NFL is black.
More than that.
That's low ball.
Yeah, I would say at least 50%.
At least 50% is black. So if you do country, you know, I mean, you're isolating half of your
right
league.
There. Yeah,
yeah.
So I will say, whenever I see a player that goes on to like, they're playing any country, like football player in particular, playing country music, and it's a white dude. I always just look at him like side eye, like. Really, dog?
Joey
country?
Bosa.
Yeah, come on, dog. Like really, country gets you pumped up to hit somebody in the face? No.
Hey.
Country doesn't pump. What? Country makes you want to lie on the grass and slowly but surely die.
Wow. All right.
That's well, granted, as long as I will say, country concerts, they're kind of fun. I've been to a couple.
Never been.
I don't know. Before You Cheese by Carrie Underwood really gets me pumped up.
You really are going to get pumped up by a country song?
Like God,
a country,
no. Like well,
if you're going to have a walk-up song, would you ever pick a country song? Like, is there a country song you pick up?
But it's more towards family members that, like, it reminisces with. Like it brings me back to my family, like okay, my, so you my wanna, grandpa. You want a memory at this point.
You want a sentimental walk up
exactly.
Song.
Okay, something yeah.
I ain't down for the sentimental. I want something that's going to get me going.
I feel like I mean it's going to get me going because
I feel like
that's
going to tears in my eyes at that point in time.
It's reminding me of who I'm playing for. That's what it would do
okay,
for me.
All right, fine. I like how we are finding tangents upon tangents on this show, and I love it. For those of you who aren't aware, you couldn't see us in this booth because no one else can. Our boy Will Tomasini just walked into the building.
What up?
There we go. Welcome to the show, brother. We got the guy on because he is the football master here. He knows his football like none other. But you still have your takes on every sport. You know them all. You know everything.
I hope so.
This NFL season we're talking about right now. Yeah. I guess we're gonna stick on this walk-up song thing. I like this idea right now.
Yeah.
Walk-up songs right now. What are we having? Somebody throw me out.
Something to be proud of.
Yeah. A song. I don't put everyone on the spot right now.
Tree.
Something that comes to your mind. If you had your walk-up song, you need to get you juiced. Is it going to be sentimental? Or are we going...
No, we're going like straight pumped up volume, man. Like, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like you would have to go all the way. Like, you want an actual like song? Like,
Yeah.
Oh. Man, if I'm famous, I'm doing Every Girl in the World. Young Money, Drake, Lil Wayne, Every Girl in the World. And I'm pointing out to the crowd, let them know what it is. I said, hey, you hear my song? All right. Yeah.
You heard what it said. Okay, yeah. Every Girl in the World. Yeah,
Every Girl in the World.
Yeah.
Can get it. That's how I'm rocking. But I feel you. I mean, you can't go wrong with, you know, some real headbanger, high volume stuff to get you fired up. I just feel like baseball is not that type of sport.
What about Baby Shark? Anybody throwing that one out there?
I mean, I get what it does to the audience, and the audience somehow gets involved in it, and like that's cool. I think I would love to have a walk-up song that brings my audience into it, brings the crowd into it.
Sweet Nothing,
something like that.
Love by the Outfield,
Sweet Child of Mine.
Yep.
Yeah. I can't remember what song it was, but when I was in Colorado. Charlie Blackman had a walk-up song that got everyone at the end of the song would always say, I can't remember what it was. I wish I did. It would be so much better if I knew what song it was. But either way, it got him involved. I was like, that's a great thing right there.
Coming up to Wild Thing.
Use Your Love Tonight.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, yeah.
Your Love by the Outfield.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, that's dope.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's another one I would want because like that's a good crowd interaction right
Brings them all into it right there. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you want something that's like, if I feel like the crowd involved with me, that juices me up too. Like, yeah, all right.
If you can get a full stadium saying the last part or singing the whole entire song even after.
Yeah. I mean, if Baby Shark didn't have the lyrics Baby Shark in it and they got everyone doing the exact same moves, I would be totally down with that because, like, doing that little alligator chomp, everyone in unison together is a great-looking thing when you're just looking at it aesthetically speaking right there.
Yeah, but you hear the music.
And it just ruins it. The only thing that comes – it's probably the best chant. This goes to you, Will. The tomahawk chop from
for
the Braves.
That
is probably the best in unison chant in baseball, even in when the Seminoles pull it out in their stadium in FSU.
I love when the Braves, like, start turning down the lights and you have all the phones going on.
It looks awesome, you know. And to give like some light up tomahawks, I'm like, oh, I'm so jealous.
I want to go so bad.
Brings you back to the glory.
Was excellent.
Yeah,
the glory days of the '90s for the A's when they actually were relevant. Well, granted, they're stepping into relevancy right now.
Coco Crisp.
Oh my god,
nice name drop.
One of the best names in baseball, I would say.
Oh yeah,
Milton Bradley. I always love that one. Plus, because you know, you associate that with like kids' board games.
Yes.
And he was a psycho.
He was, oh my goodness, he was a
lost
hothead.
His mind, like numerous times with numerous different teams.
I think Rolly Fingers was my favorite name.
Yeah.
Especially from back in the day.
Goose Gossage. Come on, dude.
His son actually played here for Chico Outlaws.
Really?
When they were around, yeah.
We had a Gossage here?
Yeah, we had a Gossage here. I actually got to meet him. Goose. That was actually pretty cool.
Wait, the actual Goose?
The senior Goose.
Oh, wow.
That was dope.
Was the other guy's name, is it Richard?
It wasn't Goose.
Well, I know his name isn't it, what's the guy, Goose Gossage's real name? I know it's not, is it Richard Gossage?
I'll check. I've always known him as Goose.
Yeah, I know. That's,
I feel bad.
I mean, I feel like that's kind of cool, though, if you have a nickname that you're only known as.
True. I mean, yeah. Chipper Jones, a.k.a. Larry.
Is his real name Larry?
Yeah,
his name is Larry?
Dude, that makes me down on Larry right now.
Larry Jones.
Larry Jones.
Was his nickname.
Richard Michael Goose Gossage.
Good. I don't know why I was able to
That's impressive.
Yeah. So Dick Gossage is what he's called right now.
Hence Goose.
Yeah.
Speaking of,
this actually brings me in, just a little side note right now, a little grinds my gears action. I know I don't have it queued up, but you know what really grinds my gears, guys? When guys get nicknames from their name that has not any close relationship to it whatsoever, like Richard and Dick, like how does that come about? Where does that name come about? Like Jim for James. I get it. You have a J and an M in there, but an I in there. Where did the I come from? No, let's just throw it in there. Okay, why don't we just call him Jam then? Jam's better than James. It's actually shortened of his name, James. You got Rob. You got Bob for Robert. Come on, what's up with that?
Well, I mean, you have
Bill for William.
Yeah.
That's like that one. Let's throw a B in there.
Yeah, I was lied to when I first moved to America about that one. They're like, "Oh, go with Bill. It's a good American name." I was like, "All right,
no, Will's way better. Will's better."
And I was like, "Yeah, that was Will's cool, better. Mom." In 1962, when you were in high school,
You
know how many fights I got into? They're like, "Bill,
are you from Bill buddy? Tomasini?" That would,
That went over real well in small town Ohio. Let me tell you,
Bill Tomasini,
That's my grandpa's name.
There's only like four people on this planet are grandfathered in to call me that. Also, everybody else is Will.
Yeah,
I was I could never. Strictly.
If I, the rest
you do not look like a Bill whatsoever.
Oh, they refuse. They're like, no, man, you're Bill. That's forever. No,
Guillermo, maybe that's.
I was like, what?
I'll call you Guillermo. That's the next thing I'll call.
That
that's
Guillermo.
Yeah, granted, that's probably one of the dopest Mexican names I'll say. Like version of Guillermo.
But that makes no sense either.
What?
From Guillermo to Bill?
It's because it's William.
Yeah.
In Spanish, it's William?
Well, yeah,
Guillermo is Guillermo.
Guillermo. Okay, okay.
Oh.
I see.
There we go. We're trilingual.
We're hitting all the languages today.
Keeping all the notes flowing right now.
Phonics, get at us.
We hooked on it right now. Once again, y'all, we'll take a little break so I can give this underwriting a shout-out right now. Talking about practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Turner Chiropractic. Providing chiropractic care for adults and children. Turner Chiropractic treats injuries related to car accidents, headaches, neck and back pain, and other conditions. Turner Chiropractic has proudly serving the Hmong community for over 12 years at 1324 Mangrove Avenue in Chico. You can also reach them by calling 342-2111. You got a little North State update for us?
A little bit.
Yeah, let's go. Let's get into that right now.
All right. So, I mean, I've already released all the... I was going to say standings, but no, the schedules for all the North State teams playing this fall. But the big one I want to remind everybody of is the 23rd at 7 o'clock up in Paradise. Paradise is coming back and playing Williams. So that'll be a good game for them. They get back the first day or the first time after the campfire. So go up and support if you can. We are not able to get field passes. There are already six huge media
outlets.
Yeah,
they can't get one for Chico's only local sports talk radio show.
Yeah, apparently there's six big media, and it wouldn't shock me if ESPN's doing like a 30 for 30 or E60 on it.
Are they?
Well, I know that there's a lot of
big media agencies are coming there. Okay,
ESPN and a few other places have already said that they're going to be following them throughout the whole entire season, kind of doing a Paradise comeback story. And it wouldn't shock me if ESPN's up there, CBS, Sports, Fox.
Yeah, I mean, it's a media story.
And
right
everyone,
there.
I mean, you look at Santa Rosa after that fire. You had ESPN going over and looking at Cardinal Newman and watching them come back together and kind of where they went after the fire. So it wouldn't shock me if ESPN did that with Paradise, especially with the whole town burning down. So.
I mean, they had coverage on it. They talked about it before, and like you see with those, it's awesome for Paradise.
Yeah,
and for
the Warriors and the Niners coming in to help and support and bring them along, show them around their facility. So it was great. But yeah, we weren't able to make it. I'm still hearing back, so we might be able to go on Friday and just do on-field interviews after the game. But yeah, go up and support.
Definitely, we'll be up there no matter what. We'll
get there, as soon as possible. Because tickets, I would imagine, would go quickly.
Pretty
quickly. So if you can, get up there before the JV game. Again,
just out of curiosity, do you have to pay to go to the JV game?
Yeah, you know, you have to pay to go to all of them.
Okay.
So,
in my high school, man, if you got into the game before the varsity game started, you got them for free. So
really?
Cool.
Really?
Mine too.
Just kind of chill in the stadiums, watch the JV guys just knock around. I'm like,
I could see the freshmen, but like not the JV.
Wait, there's a freshman team?
For around here, we have freshman teams.
Wait, what?
Yeah, my school did too.
You have freshman team? What is that?
Wait, so here everybody plays on the same day? Everybody plays?
A lot in our area, yes. I know of places that will have their varsity on Saturday mornings and JV and freshmen on Friday nights.
Okay.
So I've heard of that. I know down in Santa Cruz, I have a friend that she went to school and her school did Saturday mornings where their football games. That's so it just kind of just depends on the school. Around our area for the leagues for EAL, they do all of them the same day. Sometimes they'll even have freshmen on Thursdays just to kind of break that up.
Yeah, back home in SoCal, it's freshmen and JV if they do have freshmen, because I know when I was in high school, they like eliminated freshmen.
Oh, okay.
So it was like freshmen and JV
were on the same team.
Yeah, yeah, they're all on the same team. But they play on Thursdays and varsity on Fridays. If it's like a big game and like somebody's coming from another place in the world, like a different state, then you play on Saturday.
I haven't heard anything.
You were in that big of a school that you actually had people come into here and you would go out of state.
We had one game and they ran us and we never got a game like that. We never got a game like that again.
Yeah,
I think they came from like Arizona or something. They dogged us out.
See, that's when you know your high school is really good if you're traveling out of state whatsoever. Yeah. That's like my school never dreamed of doing that.
Or if you're getting like kids from other states to transfer there to play high school sports. I'm like, what is going on right now? Like,
that's Texas world right there.
It is.
Texas, Florida, some parts of California.
I mean, NorCal has produced a lot of talent.
Yeah, since Aaron Rodgers, we've had a lot more NFL players go in, but before it was just kind of like sporadically here and there. We had a couple guys from the 80s that went. No notable players that I can remember in the 90s, but we had a lot after Aaron Rodgers in the early 2000s kind of make his way through. We've had Rigsby, we've had Swaim, another guy from Chico High that made it. But
wasn't that a kicker from?
Oh, then we had two kickers, one from Hamilton and one from Orland.
Yeah, Aldrick Rosas for
Kicker
for the Giants.
Yeah,
and he had a punter for Castellanos or for the Colts.
Yeah, he's for the Colts. I can't remember what his name is.
Come on,
you gotta
look this up right now. Well, you gotta give this guy a proper name. He's from our area.
The one good thing was they actually had the same kicker coach. Between Hamilton and Orland. Yeah, he coached both of them, which is pretty cool to see. And so when they had their reunion, when the Colts played the Giants, that was actually pretty cool to see. They had the coach over there kind of talking to them, getting them ready for the game. So that was pretty cool to see that reunion.
It was kind of cool having being able to say I've like, you know, served actual drinks to an NFL star, I guess you would say. Yeah. He was a pro bowler, the kicker.
That's true.
Aldrick Rosas, he was a pro bowler for the Giants one of the best young talent kickers in the game right now.
Yeah, because he's, what is his second year?
This is his second year, yeah.
Yeah, so he was a rookie last year.
Yeah. Rosas?
Yeah.
Or the punter? Rosas, I think it was his third.
Was that his third year?
I think the last year was his third year.
I could have sworn he was a rookie. Well,
for these guys being from the North State, we're doing a terrible job of knowing their history right now.
I'm almost sure he's... I'll look it up right now. But yeah, that is my North State update, unless you guys got any questions on...
coming to us with some fire with the actual name for the Colts punter and how long Aldrich's been in there right now. We'll keep it moving right now because I do have some news I need to get to, because there's always some fun developing stories that y'all need to hear. So, without further ado, it's time for the news. Now, this I had to click on it because here's the title. Nearly 4 tons of weed discovered in a shipment of jalapenos. That weed, I feel like, would be really spicy. I feel like that would hurt. Like,
you would cough nonstop?
Yeah, dude, that would be, like, deadly,
Don't get a seed in there.
No,
man, that'd be life-changing. You'd be like, you know what, I'm not smoking no more.
But, again, at the same time, I understand what they're trying to do, man. You put some peppers around there, maybe the drug-sniffing dogs can't get past the peppers. They start
too
dying
spicy,
a little bit. But, apparently that didn't happen. So, in Otay Mesa, at the border facility down there in Southern California, a shipment of, like I said, roughly 4 tons of weed was discovered, valued at $2.3 million. I wonder how much that breaks down to, like, an
ounce. Yeah, right?
Yeah, like, what's the 4 tons? Let's do some math, y'all. $2.3 million, break it down.
That's not the way to go.
I mean, I need a calculator for that one for sure. I need somebody else to do that calculation because I don't even know where to start on how to figure that out. I'm sure it's a very simple math process. I'm just not good at math. So, either way, I just kind of feel weird that there's still like that much amount of weed being sent up here. Like, we like to keep our weed California grown, you know?
Maybe it's just, where it goes and then it
distributes
everywhere
else.
Like the Midwest or somewhere.
Yeah. Where they still, for some reason, see that as an illegal substance.
Well, it's also terrible weather to grow out there.
It is true, yeah.
the snow up to your knees kind of cancels that out.
We got some good weather up here. We do. We're doing all right up here for the weed to grow.
The weed.
You should probably have your mic on when you do that.
Yeah, I was trying to be quiet over here, and that didn't work out too well.
Yes, stay off the weed. I appreciate the input right there. I would tell everyone to stay off the weed right now, but I feel like, come on, we're in Chico, California, and we're listening to KZFR. We all know what we're doing. Keeping it moving right now. I got to give a shout to this man. I don't know if you guys heard about the story about the fan who, Nathan Patterson, had an opportunity of a lifetime where he was at a game, and he was at one of those pitching machines that clocks how fast you can throw it, and it showed him clocking a ball at 96 miles an hour.
I heard about this guy.
Guy got himself a minor league contract based on that deal alone from the Oakland Athletics. Now, Nathan Patterson, you think this is just kind of like a, you know, a
feel good story.
Yeah, feel good story. No. He actually made his professional debut playing for them, and so I went in and played, so I got all three of his batters, stringing strikes on him. So Nathan Patterson, you're doing all right, man. Being able to throw that heat gets you into the show.
It's pretty cool. He probably just walked up there, and there was like a 12-year-old be like, let me show you.
Right?
Real quick, dude.
96.
I did see the video of him throwing it. He took a step up into that 96, so there's a little leverage he's getting there. But still,
sure.
The guy can still throw over 90, man, and I'm sure he gets a little proper coach. Granted, I'm sure he's been coaches, and you know, he's been playing baseball. No one just throws 96 off a whim, you know?
Yeah. You can throw mid-90s. They'll work with you.
Yo, you'll be good. Yeah,
they'll work with
you.
They'll
be like, we could probably find a spot.
Oh, yeah. If you're putting out a pitching machine right now, how fast do you think you're throwing?
I've already done it. 70, right. 75.
Okay.
Yeah, probably right. So like I can get
mid-60s.
Mid-60s? Okay.
Yeah, I'd have to say probably mid-60s.
I'd hope that would be in the 70s, but I'd probably be in the low 60s.
You'd be surprised on how slow you are.
Right? Last year with the Heat, they had a pitching machine, and that was my one thing. It's like once a week I'd come back and start pitching, trying to like see how fast I can go. I got up to 75 once, but consistently stayed around like 70, 72.
But like, were you like giving it your all? Like you're throwing
a run-up approach?
Or? No, crow hop.
Crow hop
does not count.
Okay.
I mean, everyone was trying to get up as high as they possibly could, but that adds another like 10 miles per hour to your pitch. But no, I was giving it my all to where I was hitting the mitt.
You were still in control.
I was in control.
Yeah.
So I wasn't giving it my full all, like,
just
out of control. It, right? Out of control.
I'm gonna throw it as hard as I can. I don't care.
No, I want to see if like what my control looks like, how fast
that's
I can
fair.
Go.
I'm going in their Wild Thing style and just breaking.
Just letting it go.
Yeah, letting it go, man.
Like, well,
yeah.
He hit the backstop, but that's 91.
they're not trying to see outside. If it's a strike or not. They just want to see how fast you're throwing. So I'm not trying to throw
ball
a strike
four?
Here.
We can work with that.
Yeah,
ball eight.
I would say that would be one way to get a job. Just go in there, throw a pitching machine, 96. All right, you're on the roster, kid. Yeah. All right, moving along from more feel-good stories. I don't know what's going on with me right now. I got some good feel-good stories going on. This is actually one that's more up, I would say, some of our degenerates. Allie, John, that's for you right now. Pedro Barté of Uruguay was in the Hotel Conrad in Uruguay. Now, granted, this guy is the son of a billionaire, so like what he's doing right now isn't that amazing, but still. Either way, Pedro decided to, you know, have some fun with his buddies. And he's playing a little roulette, as you do when you're in a casino right now. You play all sorts of games. Roulette's always a good time. But if you have a gambling habit, guys, you know, handle yourself.
There's a phone number for that.
There is. I don't know what it is.
Couldn't tell you. Look it up.
Either way, Pedro decided that, you know what? I got billions of dollars to play with right now. Let's have some fun. So he puts $100,000 on 32. Guess what hits? 32.
31.
No, 32 hits. Nice try. Well, we're not telling the story if it was 31, brother. No, it's the reason why I'm telling the story. So $100,000. I don't know what the exact the percentage.
It's 27-1.
27-1. Yes, that equals to $3.5 million in one hand of roulette. That's
a nice payday.
Yeah, that's. I mean, for him, it's like a drop in the bucket. I feel,
right?
But either way, you know,
what's
like
that, like a pair of shoes for him or something.
I mean, you might get the hotel room for the night and maybe a couple of drinks afterwards, you know? Yeah, like we'll get a bottle service going on in the next club.
27-1?
Well, I thought it was 31. 32 or 31. So if it's 100,000, you got what, 3.1 mil?
3.2.
So it's 3.5
mil. 3.5 mil.
So it's 31.
Oh, okay.
I just want to know, you think he stopped playing after that or you think he kept going?
I feel like he lost all that 35, that 3.5 million after that. Like,
he kept going.
I bet
you
he kept going.
Yeah.
I mean, at least a million of it.
Yeah, he probably played a couple.
Yeah, like, I'm going to take a million for the night right now. We're going to have a good time with that. I'm going to take
the plus by so much.
Yeah.
What's your usual go-to game when you're in a casino?
I like dice.
Dice? Okay, a little craps action.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love... Yeah, because you get everyone involved in that one, too.
Yeah,
you know?
And you can just bet on somebody else. If they're hot, they're hot.
Yeah.
You know?
It doesn't matter.
You kind of watch what they're doing and just stay on the outside, and you can just easily make money.
Yeah, Texas Hold'em or roulette's my go-to. Texas Hold'em without the casino rules, just the regular Texas Hold'em. Because I've been there with the Texas Hold'em with like the casino rules where you have to bet a certain amount at this time. It's like, that's no fun when you're planning to get to the casino.
just trying to have fun. I'm just trying to lose my money properly. Exactly. Okay? Yeah, let me lose it on my own way. Okay,
come on. Let me smoke a cigarette indoors and bring me a watered down drink.
I mean, because that's what,
just multiple. Just hold the water, but
you always want like the first one strong. Yeah.
I'm more of a blackjack guy. I'll do a little bit of the slots, and then I always find a way to the sports book, no matter what time of year. I'll find something to bet on.
I'm pretty sure that's that's a great day right there. Just sitting in a sports book, drinking some beers. And just watching.
You know what I really want to do is go to Vegas and actually sit in the war rooms and just start betting all day long. Especially like for an NCAA March Madness, just sitting there.
Oh, that would be a fun one.
Just go into the war room during
March.
That's
the best time.
I feel like that round of the first two rounds were just nuts right
insane,
there.
Right?
I mean, I think that's
you
when
you
the,
see so much
the highs and the lows.
Yeah. Bet on every underdog $20. Even if you win only one, you're still up.
You're still out there right now. So either way, guys, gamble responsibly. Because you're supposed to have fun when you're doing it. You don't want to lose your life
or your house.
But you got $1 billion to play
or
with
your
right
wife.
Now. I think those go all
of the above,
right?
Yeah.
You can lose them all in one hand right there. And last one for the day right now. Wait, let me pull up the right story because that would help. No, that's still the wrong one. Here we go. All right. Can I get it?
I believe in you.
There we go. Now, here's where we get good. I don't know about you guys. When I was younger, sitting on the toilet used to scare me a little bit. Mainly, I was always scared about stuff coming up through the toilet, in particular, like snakes and whatnot. And you never know. I saw those videos.
Where did you live?
Not in a place snakes would ever come out of there. Never. It would not happen. I know it wouldn't.
Yeah,
it was just
make it seem like you was in the bayou. Living in the bayou.
I saw movies on the bayou that happened. I didn't realize that I had to be in the bayou for that to actually happen. Either way, I used to be scared of the toilet going in there. I had to be. It was in and out type of deal, you know? I did get over my fears, and I've come to realize I love the toilet. It's my favorite place to spend my time.
It is.
But
shower. Pretty solid.
It can be deadly. And this is why. A Florida woman.
Yes.
There we go. We're back in it, y'all. Nearly got herself blown up because her septic tank
backed up,
got struck by a lightning bolt, and the methane gas in said septic tank ignited and blew up the toilet right after she just got off.
Was she hurt?
No, she was not. She just left the bathroom when it happened. And so she quickly called her friends, her family, said, "Careful, sit on the toilet, y'all, because it might be your last time."
I mean, look at Elvis.
That's a poop to end all poops right there, man. Like is that
too soon or is that
no, I think we're good now.
We're time we've hit the threshold.
I feel like a decade after someone's like you can they're back
a decade.
That's too long.
Well,
actually.
I mean, the Marlins made that joke with Steve Irwin, so I feel like we're a decade out of that too.
I guess we are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Either way, I didn't think it was a great joke, by the way. But, I think that's mainly what it was. It was just kind of like a...
I'm dissecting the entire setup. The joke, the time frame. Okay, a little bit better, but overall,
it just wasn't a good joke.
We're going to go
to a
solid C.
Slight fail.
C-.
It was a weak joke. You got the cheap laughs. Okay, good for you. Now, here's where we get to the good stuff right now. Because I do have my man, Will Tomasini, in the real Italian... So we need to talk a little football action. Do I have that drop with me right now? Or
yeah, I got it right here.
Let's go for it right now. Foot and mouth, y'all. Let's do it.
Why is it not going?
Or not. Nope. Mm-mm. Okay.
And now it's time we take a deep dive into the world of soccer with the man responsible for such flashes of brilliance as...
39 was last year, and he could barely, throw a ball out at a barnside.
It's time for Derek Izumaki's Foot in Mouth.
Goes the show. There's never a dull moment in here. Bradley always learning new things about this wonderful soundboard that we got here. He's an engineer extraordinaire.
I'm doing my best.
Yeah, you're doing my best. We got the show going right now, and you got our intro in, so I appreciate that.
You never lose, you always learn.
You can still lose though. Football is back, y'all. Football is completely back now. We got Yeah, Serie A started, correct?
No.
Okay. So everything but Serie A has started right now. So we got La Liga's in session. Bundesliga's going. Premier League's going. Ligue 1's out there right now. We're going to get there. We just had the, when you have the Europa League and Champions League play? Champion, the Europa League champion in the...
The Super Cup.
Super Cup. Yes, the Super Cup just happened right now. That's really the kickoff of the official season, right?
Correct.
There. That's the start of the pinnacle. Correct. We have the Europa League champion, Chelsea, going up against Liverpool, the Champions League champions. And we actually saw a Chelsea side that didn't look that bad out there.
No, and honestly, I was kind of impressed by Pulisic.
Right?
No, it's the one talking point for like American soccer and everything like that. But the kid actually looks like he can hold his own.
That's what we're kind of talking about. Because I was saying last week how it's exciting to have a legitimate star in a legitimate team in a legitimate European league right now.
Yeah.
And granted, he's not hasn't quite earned a starting position. He's still kind of coming off the bench. But I think by the time the year's going on, he's going to be a focal point right now. He's going to be that guy on the wing. They got to find a way to keep him and Willian in there together somehow. Unless they get rid of him. I know there's talk of Chelsea trying to move him, but at this point in time, the only talks of movement right now are Neymar to Barcelona because Barcelona is utterly and completely decimated right now.
Yeah, they're decimated with players. You know, they just signed Antonio Griezmann. They're decimated.
I would say injury-wise. Luis Suarez just went down with a calf injury. Messi's still suffering from one right now. Dembele is not back right now. So they're pretty much their attacking front line other than Griezmann.
Exactly. And they just loaned out Coutinho to Bayern in Germany, which, you know, kind of could possibly pave the way for Neymar to come over there. But I actually just today read a news story on that saying that Juventus possibly offered Paulo Dybala plus 110 million euros for Neymar.
I would take that.
Pay him a net of 37 mil a year.
I would take that too if I was PSG.
Oh, yeah. That's a great trade. I mean, personally.
One thing I haven't been appreciative of, I love Dybala a lot. And I feel the way that Juventus has been kind of tossing around there when there was talk of him going for Lukaku. I was like, really? You're going to send him for Lukaku right now? No, that was...
was like the most absurd trade I've ever seen in my life. That was like when Chris Paul got traded to the Lakers for like a sandwich and like a pair of socks.
Yeah.
They can let that
run. No, and they were like, no, dude, like, this
come
is
on,
way
bro.
Too bad.
What do you mean?
But you know what I mean? Like, it's just, they definitely toss his name out there like he's like old news and the guy still has a lot to prove. So I think anyone who gets him will be in a good position. But going back to what you're saying about Barcelona and everything, it'll be interesting to see if they go and make that move for Neymar. Because, yes, that would give them one heck of like firepower. But all those guys play forward. None of them track back. Yeah. So that means you're leaving two midfielders and four defenders, which already they showed last year that they have some holes in there. And, I mean, you saw it in the first game of the season. They lost 1-0, you know. Granted, it was late, but still, you lose 1-0 on your opener, and you have all this amazing team. You've dropped, like, almost, what, $400 million on, like, three players. So
you got to win.
Yeah.
And they got to win the Champions League.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That's, like, numero uno. Granted, it's numero uno for most
everyone
out there right there.
You know,
but Barcelona is certainly facing the amount of pressure that they are with the way they left the past two Champions Leagues.
True. Those
2 years ago against Roma, a terrible one, and then Liverpool this past year.
Horrific exits.
So Barcelona is definitely facing a lot of
scrutiny.
Yes. And Messi in particular, too, especially with him not being out there. It's not helping his cause.
Definitely. And, I mean, especially, too, how that ended this summer for him with Argentina and Brazil and everything and calling out the refs, saying that they're biased.
He did not look good this summer, this offseason.
Yeah, it wasn't the best. And, you know, now he's injured. I'm sure he's going to be fine. Like, you know, the guy's an alien. He's out of this planet. So it'll be okay. But it'll be definitely interesting to see. Also, Real Madrid will be really interesting, especially with Zidane there. There's already been rumblings of saying that he's going to leave by, like, January.
I mean, he does not like Bale whatsoever. They were not able to get rid of Bale, so he's now on the squad.
Exactly.
He looks like he's here to stay now.
Exactly.
And now Zidane's like, yeah, I like the guy.
Yeah.
No, you
started
don't.
Him this weekend,
yeah.
You know?
You're stuck with him right now. Now, one of the big talking points I felt this past week in particular, the Premier League, we had a great matchup, Tottenham versus Man City. I don't know if you had a chance to watch that game.
Did.
All right.
I did.
That was the game of the week. And once again, Man City gets hosed because the new implication of VAR into the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
VAR is the video assistance review. Is that what? Assistant referee. So right now it's pretty much just challenging. Like, all the goals are now reviewed. All goals are now reviewed in the EPL. And they now have a rule that a a handball cannot help in scoring or in aiding to the scoring of a goal. Now, in Man City, in what could have, what should have been the goal to win it for them, was called off because of an inadvertent handball by Laporte.
Mm-hmm.
This was completely unincidental by him. You could see that you couldn't even see where the ball was coming from, where his head was ducking because he was trying to head the ball into the net off a corner. Either way, glanced off his arm, dropped to Gabriel De Jesus, and he scored the ball. Granted, VAR came in, took it away. And once again, Man City is utterly, completely frustrated because, once again, it's by Tottenham.
Yep.
That they
in
have.
In the last minutes also.
In the last minutes, yeah. Apparently, I heard that a lot of Man City fans just walked out right after that call had happened right there. So Man City fans not too happy, none too pleased. Tottenham, though, living large, loving it right now.
They're like their kryptonite in a weird way, you know? And like, and on paper, honestly, Man City should just be mopping the floor with them.
They have.
With anybody, really.
With everyone.
I mean, honestly.
Front to back, their back line to the front line,
super
everything between.
Solid.
Even their subs, amazing.
And, yeah, Tottenham just somehow squeaks it out. Lucas Moura, too. My God.
He was a great find for him right now.
Playing.
I don't know how PSG didn't find a way to get him into their lineup.
Their
he was a great,
their
great
loss,
talent.
Your game.
But I did want to get your thoughts on the VAR. What are you thinking? Do you like that implication of the rule of VAR being used for every goal-scoring situation?
I like VAR being implemented just like how it is in football, reviewing like the scoring play,
yeah.
Make sure the ball went over the line, so on and so forth, and it's all good that way. I do think it is too loose because it's on the referee's interpretation. There needs to be a solid, concrete, like, rule. Be like, it's either this or it isn't. Because
yeah.
My interpretation from when I grew up playing to the next guy when he grew up playing or something, mm-hmm. That goes into your decision-making. You know, you're going to be like, oh, that never was called when I was, you know, I
so
don't
it
think
shouldn't
it is.
Be called.
You
yeah.
know? So I'm for it. It just needs to be refined. You know,
that's where I say the sports gimp comes into play right now.
So should it also be the kind of like how the MLB, it's like it has to be concrete evidence that there was that this happened for this reason. Kind of like how if you can't tell he was tagged out, it's still safe.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you've ever played soccer and you know in the instance that we're talking about, you
yeah.
ever saw the guy has no clue that the ball is coming to him. At all.
Yeah.
You know, and it just ricochets off of it. It's just part of the game. It's just going to happen. Now, if you, like, punched it to him, that's different, you know?
Yes.
And it lands so many scores. Honestly, when I grew up, that's a goal, you know?
I think until this past year, it was a goal.
It was a goal,
it
right?
It was a goal, yeah.
So I feel for Man City. I have to say, though, last year in the Champions League, I thought for sure that was going to be overturned. I can't believe it didn't.
Yeah.
There was a couple. And then the one in PSG with Man United where they got that
so
penalty.
Many.
That was just
yeah.
oh, that
a
was
lot
horrific.
Of a lot of headaches going on, and it's only going to be getting better because the Champions League is less than a month away from the group stages kicking off.
I'm excited
right.
for that one.
Me
that's
too.
Oh, man.
Me too.
If it's half as good as last year, we're going for a great season right now. Now we've talked enough football. We've gone you guys are all you're all over right now. So we got the best part of the show on right now. She is our LA correspondent, soon to be our non-more LA correspondent. She's on her way out. Which is unfortunate because you're leaving a great place of LA. Actually, it's a terrible slob. But Aaron, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
So good.
Glad to hear your voice back on the show right now.
I will not be your LA correspondent.
You will not. Yeah, you will be our Salt Lake City correspondent.
That's right. I'm officially a Salt Lake City resident as of Friday.
All right. There we go. Wait, when are you moving?
Friday.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll see you Thursday.
Exactly.
Well, one day. Okay, I get it, y'all. Now, you do have some news for us that don't involve your living locations right now in the world of golf,
that's
correct?
True. No one cares about that. But, guys, Tiger's not back.
Thank God.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
He's not. Never has been.
Dropped out on the first day last weekend, so he didn't play today, which means that he won't be going for the Tour Champ or the FedEx Cup.
I'm happy.
That's good news.
I'm very happy.
Yeah, yeah.
Tiger needs to play on that Steph Curry show. Holy moly.
Oh,
that's where he needs to play.
That should be his next move, I feel.
That's
yeah.
where he needs to play. He just needs to...
Just be a partner in that.
Lower the competition all the way
yeah.
and dominate there.
I think they should have, like, a pro version of the Holy Moly, you know? Like, pro golfers going on that show.
That'd be interesting.
Have you seen that show, Aaron?
I think it's called the PGA Tour, but
Touche. So what happened in this past weekend? Who actually did perform well other than Tiger?
Yeah, Tiger's not back. It looks like the big winner. actually, the big thing they did this year was Tiger was not here. The Tour champ and the FedEx Cup champ was not the same person, so they've changed it, and I won't say rigged, but they changed the point system a little bit. So Justin Thomas won last weekend, so he comes in to the final tournament at East Lake in Atlanta next week. He starts at 10 under. So they're basically rigging it. If you are the points winner or the points leader going into the final tournament, then you're probably going to win.
Wait, hold up. You start at 10 under?
Since he won this past week?
Wow. Under.
That makes that. I mean, that's not golf, though.
Is there anyone else that's under par at that point at the start of the tournament?
Yeah.
Or is...
Yeah. So I guess I should have been more clear, but there's 30 people that go, and the first 10 that are the leaders in the point are. So it goes 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then everyone else is even.
Oh, gotcha.
So okay. They do want the points leader to win, but they don't get that much of an advantage.
So anybody within the top 10 gets a little bit of an advantage. The top 3 are probably